You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks post-game podcast. The Hawks beat the Dallas Stars. Yeah, you heard me right. 3-2 at the United Center. I'm Jay Zawoski. That's Greg Boyson. We're here with you. Mario will join us from the United Center in a little bit here, but an exciting win. Connor Bedard scores. Seth Jones scores. Andreas Athanasiou scores. And in a game that if I had to predict a guaranteed opponent victory, this probably would have been the one, because Dallas is a freaking wagon and the Hawks are not. And this just goes to show you, Greg, as you like to say, hockey is weird.
Hockey is the silliest of all the sports. And yeah, that was a game that the Blackhawks had no business winning. But Peter Mrazek said, "I get on my back. I will carry us to the promised land today." And that's what he did. They were... They were outshot 44-17.
Yes.
At one point.
And that is accurate, by the way. That's like
at one point representative in the game. They were being outshot 33-11, 3-1, while they had a 3-1 lead in goals. So it just goes to show you. They had that hot stretch in the second period. They didn't get much done offensively at all today. The Stars are just all over them. It looked like they had seven guys on the ice. And they just kept coming and coming and coming. They just, every shift, every time the Hawks scored, the Stars were right back in the zone pressuring. All three times. Yep. They never looked flustered. They never looked like they didn't think they were going to win this game. I told you in the press box when it was 3-0, I'm like, this is not a safe lead. The Stars are going to make this a game. And if it wasn't for a goalie interference call, they would have tied the game.
Absolutely, and it felt inevitable. That tying goal felt inevitable, but credit to the Hawks, because we had Nick Foligno on earlier this week, and he talked about, like, look, like, we're not going to win every game, but we want our opponents to know that we're not just going to give them things easily. They're going to have to come in and fight for their 2 points, and that's kind of where they want to get as a team to finish this year, to head into next year, and that's what this game was. Like, yeah, you look at the talent top to bottom between the Stars and the Hawks, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. They're loaded with superstar players, highly underrated players, on and on and on. But the Hawks played as hard as they possibly could, top to bottom. There were no passengers in this game. Now, were there some guys that struggled more than others? Of course. Were there some guys that played better than others? Yes. But you saw from line one to line four, from pairing one to pairing three to the goaltender, they were battling their asses off. Part of it is survival. You don't want to get embarrassed on home ice, but the beginning of that second period was as fun as the United Center has been all year. People were up for grabs. There were some nice goals, like Bedard with a snipe, then Reichel with the assist of the year from his knees, and then Seth Jones gets a cross-ice pass from Ryan Donato and scores. It was awesome. Like, that was a super fun, super impressive game. So we're going to have you, as we always do, vote for the fourth star of the game. You could do that on our YouTube chat. The three stars of the game: your third star, Connor Bedard, with a goal, 4 shots and 7 shot attempts. Your number two star was Seth Jones with the game-winning goal, plus two, 26-27 of ice time for Seth Jones. And Peter Mrazek stopped 42 of 44 Dallas Stars shot. So those are your three stars, your four star nominees. Wyatt Kaiser had an assist. He set up Reichel, who set up Athanasiou for that goal. 17-51, 3 shot attempts for Kaiser. Mackenzie Entwistle was all over the place today. He had an assist, a shot, and 4 hits. And Lucas Reichel, who we mentioned, had 2 shots on goal and this absolutely spectacular assist. This is courtesy of the Blackhawks Twitter account. Check this out if you haven't seen it yet. That's unreal. Lucas Reichel from one knee puts a backhand pass on the tape to Andreas Athanasiou, who scores his first goal of the year. Couldn't miss that one.
I mean, as I say, that you missed that one.
You're Jimmy Ben.
Just, yeah, you're man, just head right off the ice. And
so nice, I'm going to show it a second time.
Yeah, let's see it one more time. I've only watched it like 1,000 so far.
It's just a great play.
That's the concentration there to go to the ice and be able to find your guy. I mean, that's great. That's great stuff from Reichel.
Yeah, I mean, and we're not trying to tip the scales. We got a lot of guys we want to isolate on in this game. But since Reichel's been back, he has looked so much better, so much like his old self, and it's really nice to see him get rewarded for not only a play like that and the presence of mind to make a pass like that, but just for his willingness to compete now, to go to the middle of the ice, to engage physicality. He had a shift where he got cross-checked by Jimmy Benn, punched in the face by Jimmy Benn, didn't back down, just kept going. He just kept going, and that's, you know, I think when you get your manhood questioned indirectly, but somewhat directly, you want to see how a guy responds, and Reichel's responded well.
It's been questioned directly in our post-game chats all season long. Soft, soft, soft. That's all you hear about Lucas Reichel. He's soft. You know, he's toughing up a little bit, and we're seeing that, and that's good. It was, again, one of those days where Blackhawks had no business winning this game, but they got just enough. Peter Mrazek was fantastic. I don't want to say the stars were looking ahead, because tomorrow they have Pete DeBoer, our stalker from Nashville.
Yep.
Before the game, I jumped into his pregame press conference. He called tomorrow's game. They play in Denver against the Avalanche tomorrow night, which he called their game of the year. That's why he literally said, that's why we're not playing Tyler Seguin tonight. He needs a day off. We're going to sit him tonight. Not that we're overlooking the Blackhawks, but we'd rather have him against the Colorado Avalanche. Now, they didn't overlook the Blackhawks. They got goalied.
Yeah, they got
goalied. If it was the other way around, it was 44. The Blackhawks had 44 shots to the Stars 17.
Right.
Then you say they were looking past the Blackhawks to the Avalanche. They played their game. They play this game 82 games a year. They're going to win. I don't know how many games they've won this year.
Yeah, right.
Like, they play like that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're going to be tough to beat in a 7-game series. So they didn't look past the Blackhawks. They just, one of those days where your goalie just let in one more than the other guy did, and that's why you lost.
Right. And they had so many chances. They hit a couple posts.
Jason Robertson had, like, 5 glorious chances all by himself, and either missed or Mrazek stopped him every time.
Yeah, so we talked about Reichel. Let's talk about Seth Jones in this one, too. And I know he got a star of the game, but, you know, 26-plus minutes. He defended a 3-on-1 on his own, and the play didn't even result in the shot on goal.
When Joey Anderson, fell down. He stopped the initial shot, and then there were two guys trailing, and then all hell broke loose, and they never even got a shot on.
He was just everywhere today. Seth Jones, every time you looked up and there was something going for Dallas, it looked like Seth Jones was there to break it up. And, you know, I know there are those moments that we talked about this after the last game, because what was it with the empty net? He fumbled the puck at the blue line, and then the Islanders went and scored, and he took a lot of the wrath for that. But it's like, when you play half the game, opportunities for mistakes are going to be there for you more often than they are going to be for others. And when you're trusted to make every big defensive play, Tim or Vlasic, when they don't, they really stand out. Today was, if you're going to have a conversation with a Seth Jones hater, this is the game tape to show him.
Yeah.
Because he was an absolute warrior in this game against a team that was so much better, so much deeper, so much bigger, so much faster, so much everything than the Blackhawks. And aside from Peter Mrazek, he may have been the biggest difference in the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, we had people the last game saying, oh, they lost the game because of Seth Jones, when you looked and said, and then you read the stats and go, I don't know. He had literally had the highest game score, the longest blue line of both teams, but he was the reason they lost. Sure. But you look at today, he was a plus two. Had the, you know, that's the category that really matters if you ask people. had the goal, great shot, great pass by Donato. Two hits, a takeaway, four block shots. No giveaways. Like, as solid as they got. You know, him and Vlasic are so good together. So good. I was reading, I forget which one of the stat dorks put out the article about Vlasic's numbers have him as the second best defensive defenseman in the league right now.
Who's first?
I do not recall who it was because I was still kind of like, oh, my God, I can't believe Vlasic is second. I'll have to find it. It was one of those Jay Fresh or one of those guys had the one of those guys that put all the fancy graphs up, and I go, just tell me what you're trying to tell me.
It's got to be Brock Faber. Who else could it be?
Probably. But it was Tanev. Nate says, yeah, Tanev.
Oh, Hawk Chris Tanev.
Yeah, so that pairing is really good,
yeah?
And they're only going to get better as, you know, Vlasic gets more. This is only Vlasic's first full season in the NHL. I mean, and again, just to let everybody know, he is going to be the exception to the rule of how quickly he got good.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're looking for Ethan Del Mastro or Nolan Allen to come up next year and do the same thing, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Not saying they won't be good when they get here, but they're not going to be this good this quick. Vlasic played 3 years at college, a full season in the AHL.
Yeah.
And now this.
He looks like a 10-year veteran, the way he plays. He's so calm and poised with the puck. It's really remarkable and impressive. Like, there's never, ever a time where I see Alex Vlasic with the puck, and I'm like, he's panicking. He's worried. He's, you know, he's not sure what to do. He's just so level-headed. The other thing I noticed about him, too, is he's always head up. Very rarely do you see him, like, looking down at the puck. He's always kind of corralling it, taking a look, surveying. Seth Jones is like that a lot, too. And you talk about, we had Johnny Oduya on our last show on, I don't know what day it is today. That was Thursday we had him on?
It was Thursday, yes.
And he talked about, like, how him and Nicholas Hjalmarsson were just a perfect pair for each other. You're seeing a lot of similarities with Jones and with Vlasic, and that's, you know, the kind of thing when you look at the hockey development staff and the player development staff and the GM and the coaches, like, trying to put these puzzle pieces together. And so you've got a really good, you know, you could check that box for your top pair for the next 7 years with Vlasic and Jones together. And now you see how you fill out the bottom four. And it's that, as you start to look ahead to, you know, when is this team going to be good again? When are they going to contend again? Start thinking about that stuff. Like, what do you know you have? You know you have your franchise forward. You know you've got a really complimentary middle six piece in Filip Kurashev when this team's ready to be great. Right? Okay, check that box. And you just go on and on and on and try to find, okay, what does this team still need? What do they have potentially in the system? And you build that way. And it's, I don't know, it's the end, the way this, the end of this year has happened. 7-7 in March, and then, you know, a tough loss to the Islanders. It could have gone either way. And then a win over Dallas where, yeah, like you said, Greg, they got schooled for 60 minutes, but they came out on top. And it's a huge character win.
At the end of the day, they led in the only stat that matters.
Right. That's right. Well, you know what I haven't done yet? I failed at my job. I have not told people to hit that like button yet. So please, if you're in on the YouTube page, please smash that like button for us. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube page as well. I was talking to our buddy Steven the other day, and he said, such a low percentage of our viewers are subscribers. Subscribing is free. Hit that subscribe button. It's just a way to know when we're live. We'll be moved to the top of your feed so you can see when CHGO Blackhawks or Bears or Cubs or Sox or whatever your favorite show is, when they're on, they'll be right there on top when you subscribe. So please do that. And again, smash that like button. And of course, podcast listeners, like, subscribe, all that great stuff. And this was a very intense game. And when games are intense, Greg, it's good to have something that can help you chill. And when we're in the press box, we can't be drinking Coors Light.
No.
Maybe you got to get one of those, like, phony cans, you know, with the sticker. So it looks like I'm drinking a Pepsi or whatever, and it's actually a Coors Light.
I
don't want to lose my credential. I'm going to not do that.
Take the little outside of a Coke can and put it around the outside.
You know what? I'm not going to do that.
We do that at our softball games when they don't let us drink on the field. So,
that's not softball.
I know. It's crazy.
How do you play softball without drinking? That's ridiculous. Well, guess what? As soon as we got here, I cracked a Coors Light to watch the third period, and it did help me stay cool, just like Alex Vlasic, just like Seth Jones. My nerves were not shattered because I was drinking some ice-cold Coors Light. When those mountains turn blue, it is as cold as the Rockies. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. When it's time to chill, open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/CHGO Hockey. Again, that's CoorsLight.com/CHGO Hockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Well, our pizza for our WrestleMania watch-along just showed up, so we got to wrap this up soon. just, hey, if you are a big wrestling fan, we are right after this show.
Yep.
Live watch-along will be Jay and myself and Big Dave from CHGO Bulls. Mario will be coming back.
Yep, Ryan Herrera.
Ryan from the Cubs show, but unfortunately, I don't think there's any prize picks entries you could do for WrestleMania tonight. But Prize Picks is where I do all my sports money-winning events these days. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in all of North America. They're the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. So many great opportunities to bet. You've got the Final Four games coming up tonight. Lots of hockey. National championship games for men and women coming up. The NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs are starting. Major League Baseball in full effect. The best thing about Prize Picks is you don't have to stick to the same sport. You can put 6 entries on your overall entry, and they can each be from a different sport. You could have one baseball player, you could have one hockey player, one basketball player, one dart player, apparently. And all you do is bet more or less on projected stats. It's that easy, and you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with baseball, hockey, and college basketball entries right now on Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and then use the code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO. Use the code CHGO and they're going to match you up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
A couple months ago, we produced a video about has Peter Mrazek become so good that he doesn't even warrant conversation anymore? I am suspending that belief. He was absolutely awesome in this game.
Yeah, he's great.
And just like, sure, when you get a goalie win, there's going to be a couple moments of luck. There was a post hit. There was a disallowed goal that maybe should have been allowed. Fine. But he was tracking the puck so well.
This makes up for the way they lost that Islanders game.
Yeah, true. Good point.
The game-winning goal for the Islanders was scored because the puck hit a screw sticking out of the boards and bounced right in front of the net. That's why why I make my argument about replay, too. Like, at the end of the year, these things always have a way of evening out. They had bad puck luck against the Islanders and lost. They had better puck luck today. The Stars hit 2 posts. They had that 3-on-1 they didn't even get a shot on.
Yeah.
You know, they had the luck today. So, in the end, it usually, you know,
over 82, it'll balance out.
Yeah, the scales usually balance out. So, you know, but Mrazek was just awesome today. Best game of the year for him in a season where he has been the most valuable Blackhawk. Connor Bedard has been the best Blackhawk. Peter Mrazek has been the most valuable Blackhawk. Because as bad as things have been through all the injuries and underachieving, without Peter Mrazek, they would have been 20 times worse.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd lose every night 7-1. Like, it'd be really bad. Good for him. This is a guy that just the last couple seasons really struggled to stay on the ice. Had groin injuries, a myriad of nagging injuries that kept him off. So, you know, to have him out there playing well, it's great. It's good for him because he's an easy guy to root for. You know, he's always in a good mood in the locker room. He's a, you know, has a great personality. Usually I'd say he's one of the five least weird goaltenders in the NHL, and that's saying a lot.
That's interesting. Because
goalies are weird. But yeah, Peter is like one of the most normal goalies I've ever had the pleasure of talking to.
Yeah. He's kind of comes in after and he just acts like one of the skaters.
Yeah.
And not that Soderblom is weird, but he comes in, kind of sits there for a while, real quiet, doesn't really talk and react with anybody. Right. Not in like a dick way, just kind of, he's got his own thing going on.
He's a quiet guy, yeah. Right. Where Mrazek is one of the guys chirping and having fun, and he's always giving our guy Nick Foligno a hard time, you know.
As he should.
When the media, you know, gets around him, they're all like, oh, they only want to talk to you, Flea, like stuff like that. So good for Mrazek. He's earned every penny of that 2-year extension for how he's played tonight. And they've rewarded him. The Blackhawks have done a real nice job this year of seeing the veteran guys that are giving their all and grinding, where a lot of guys would just kind of coast through the year and be a passenger, like you said earlier, that term. So many guys would do that because they know, oh, I'm just going to be here to the trade deadline, pad my stats, be selfish. But guys like Mrazek and Dickinson and Foligno, they have been leaders. They have left it all on the ice, and those are the guys that got rewarded with 2-year deals.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we throw the word leader around a lot here, and it's accurate. It is a good way to put it, but I think part of it is these young Blackhawks, just seeing how professionals act and how they go about their day-to-day routines and how they, you know, compete every night and how they're always ready to go for the game and how – no matter what the situation is, they don't change the way they play, right? Like, you know that you're going to get the same kind of effort and execution from Foligno and from Dickinson and from Mrazek every game. There's not going to be any kind of, you know, oh, well, this night, you know, Foligno didn't really give it his all, or Dickinson was kind of checked out tonight. No, that doesn't happen with those guys. And that's, leadership isn't always just being the guy who talks the most or says the most things in the media, or, you know, is getting in the face of the referees after a questionable play or whatever it is. Leadership, and we learned this in a dynasty, is you got Jonathan Toews leading by example. You got Brent Seabrook being the vocal guy. You got Duncan Keith, who is a training lunatic, right? And if you look up and see the three most talented guys on your team working the hardest, it's like, shit, what's my excuse then? I have none, so I'm going to work hard too. Whereas if you see a veteran who's kind of checked out, like you said, Greg, and is, you know, I don't know, I'm just kind of here until my next contract and we'll see what happens. It's a different kind of an atmosphere. It's a different kind of a room. And I think that the Hawks have a very clear understanding of leadership dynamics and team dynamics and how they work. And, again, going back to our Oduya interview on Thursday, as we said, when he got here, it, like, pressed him to be better. He's like, God, look at all these guys in here. Look at all these great hockey players I'm on a team with now. I want to get to their level. I want to be able to hang with them and not be the reason, not be the weak link in this chain.
Yeah. And I think it's Ben in the chat says, all games on Saturday and Sunday should start at 2:30.
All games, period, should start at 2:30.
No matter what day of the week it is, they should start at 2:30. Every NHL game should be in the afternoon.
Yeah, just watch it at work.
Yeah, I mean, take the day off if you want to go to the game. It's all right.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. All right. I want to talk about Wyatt Kaiser, too. He's another one of our nominees for four-star of the game. And if you watch that, I forget what the play was a couple weeks ago, but it was another, I think, assist where he kind of perfectly kind of waited for the moment to make the play, knew who was closing in on him, knew how much time and space he had, made a great pass. This one, the one that he got to Reichel, was the same thing. He was cutting like right through center ice, waited, boom, got it right through, right at the right pace. Reichel splits the D and makes the assist from his knee. And again, when we talk about the poise that Alex Vlasic has shown, since Kaiser's come back, you see it, like, and there are times where, like, maybe what he tries doesn't work. Maybe there's a turnover. Maybe there's no, like, there still is no panic. He's like, okay, adjust, move on to the next right thing to do. And I don't know what his ceiling is. When I look at him and I see his size and I see the kind of player he is, I wonder how good he can be. Like, can he be a more defensively reliable Erik Gustafsson? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's like a 50-point guy.
I don't know if he's
got I don't know if he's got that kind of offense, but he's better defensively. I'm trying to find a comp for Wyatt Kaiser. I'm happy for suggestions in the chat if you have them.
Yeah, I'll think of one. See, with Kaiser, like, there are moments where I think his ceiling is much higher, and then there are other moments where it's like he may have a hard time getting playing time here in a couple of years with, you know, if you have Del Mastro and Allen pan out and hit their potential. If you have Sam Renzel pan, I know, you know, Murphy will be gone after next season and you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, and if you draft, you know, another defenseman here with their top pick this year. But I think with Wyatt Kaiser, going to the AHL obviously served him a lot. And when we were down there for the Corey Crawford retirement game, we talked to Ice Hogs head coach Anders Sorensen, who, amazing, that like 2 months ago I had people in my mentions, Ice Hogs fans in my mentions, saying they wanted him fired because they were in the midst of a losing streak. Yeah. And now we don't hear that much about that. But, you know, he said that it took Kaiser, we asked Sorensen, it took Kaiser like few games to readjust to the AHL, because the AHL is a different game.
Yeah.
It's not as fast, like, speed-wise, but it is far more chaotic in the AHL. There's less structure. There's more physical. Guys just bum-rush the net all the time.
There's less skill.
It is. It's more chaos. So I think if you can handle and learn how to slow down the chaos of the AHL, the NHL becomes a little slower for you.
That's kind of what it is, yeah.
Because you kind of... In the NHL, I think you could kind of read things better because guys have their tendencies. There's more video, all that stuff.
And also the less randomness because passes are on the tape and they complete and there's more flow.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's what Slagard sort of said. Was like, oh, it's moving slower than I thought it would.
Because it's more structured. And, like, guys have specific places to be. And if you could beat that person to that spot, you'll win that battle more often. Whereas the AHL, it's just like, you know, there's a hand grenade thrown out on the ice and everybody's trying to get away from it as quickly as possible. And I like Kaiser. I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, he has the runs where you're like, okay, this looks like a solid, you know, 4 or 5. But then, you know, as I said, you've got guys in the system coming up that I think have higher ceilings than him. That doesn't mean they're going to hit it, but it's interesting to see.
This is what you were talking about the other day, though. It's a nice luxury to have where if Allen and Del Mastro and Kaiser and all these guys pan out, and maybe you draft a defenseman this year, second or third, you know, whatever, it's a good problem to have because then, all right, well.
You can never have enough
defense. We've got this is embarrassment of riches. We'll flip one of them.
Right.
A couple good comps coming in on the chat. Nick Letty. From Arcade Hawk, I saw Lebowski 5 compared him to Johnny Oduya. Oduya's got some weight on him, obviously, but Kaiser will fill out as he gets older. Someone said Gustav Forsling, which I thought was a little bit interesting.
Okay. I don't want to wait as long, but it might take that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's he's not like your prototypical defenseman. And I don't know. Maybe it's just because the Hawks are pretty big defensively.
Yeah,
because
usually when guys are on the smaller end defensively, they're dynamic offensively.
Yeah.
And he's not dynamic offensively. He's a really good skater, and I think can do more things offensively than we've seen from him. He was pretty good offensively down at with the Ice Hogs, picking up some assists, getting some power play time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think when he's up here, he focuses more on his defensive game and his you know, zone exits than, you know, worrying about jumping in the rush. But, you know, we've seen flashes of it. So, I don't know. It's going to be a fun thing to watch over the next few seasons to see how this pans out, not just with Kaiser, but with that young defense as a whole.
Yeah.
You run down the names and you say, okay, well, even if all these guys hit, which probably isn't going to happen.
Right.
If all these young defensemen become top four blue liners and put Kyle Davidson in the Hall of Fame already. Like, this is some great drafting, even though not all of them were his. But still, But it's going to be fun to watch these this group figure out who each is and where they belong and where they play and who's going to be the odd man out. Who's going to be the guy that, you know, who's going to be the Blackhawks version of the Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt trade that we saw
right.
Colorado make this year? Like, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, the storyline within the within, you know, everybody's focused on Bedard and Oliver Moore and Frank Nazar and whoever they draft this year and some of these young kids. Nick Lardis is getting a lot of attention and all these guys that we keep talking about. And yeah, that's where everybody's going to be focusing. But that defensive development, it's going to make a huge difference, because if you have the back end settled before the forwards, you're in a much better spot. If you have that figured out first,
yeah, built for the backup,
then you can plug and play wherever you want up front. Where if you know you're giving up less than, you know, if you're giving up two goals a night, you can get a little crazy,
yeah,
with the forwards.
Well, you know, you've got three NH, you've got two studs, you've got one. I'm ready to say Kaiser is worthy of being a full-time NHL player next year if one of those guys isn't ready.
I would say so, yeah.
So eventually you bring in a free agent, and like, you're pretty close with Del Mastro and Allen. You think you're pretty confident one of those guys will for sure hit. I would say probably both of them will be NHL players. To what level?
I mean, they're going to get looks for sure.
I don't know. That's it.
You still have Sam Renzel 3-4 years away, yeah, maybe.
Right.
You draft Leshunov, number two. That's a guy
I'm down
that's
that.
Going to be
right side defenseman too.
That's a guy that's another two, three years away. But, you know, keep the waves coming. So in case Kaiser comes out next year and he's not the guy we thought he was going to be, or Del, you know, I'm pretty high on Del Mastro. What he's been able to do in the AHL this year, I think he is going to be, you know, a fixture on the Blackhawks defense for a long time. Allen, you know, I still think he's going to be an NHLer. So if one of those guys struggle or just can't make it translate to the NHL, or knock on wood, has some injury problems, you have Renzel, possibly Leshanov, and other guys eventually coming.
Yeah. All right, we've got some super chats to get to. Mario is sending in some post-game tapes. We're going to hear from Seth Jones, Luke Richardson, and eventually from Mario from the UC. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at CD1 Price Cleaners. You know what's frustrating about going to the cleaners is, A, you forget you brought them. You find that little ticket in your car a month later, like, oh, damn, I wonder what this is for. Like, oh, mystery shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new one.
My one collared shirt. I better go get that.
CD1 Price Cleaners, guess what they do? They'll text you when your order's ready to remind you, hey, dumbass, you've got some clothes here. And it's not just that. With CD1 Price Cleaners, you can save over 30% on your dry cleaning bill by switching to CD1 Price Cleaners. And based on the name, it should make sense to you, but we'll tell you anyway. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have upcharges, and you may pay a different price every time you visit. At CD1 Price Cleaners, they charge, ready for it, one low price,
wow,
for any garment. Yep, even sports jerseys, the same one low price. They offer dry cleaning, they'll wash and fold your laundry. They'll wash your blankets and comforters. They've got tailoring and alterations. They'll clean your leather, so if your chaps are dirty, don't worry about it. Area rug cleaning, anything you need, they've got it. It's CD1 Price Cleaners. Visit chgo.cdone.com or click the link in our description. Once there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or an online pickup and delivery coupon option. Again, chgo.cdone.com.
And I bet you our friends at CD1 Price Cleaner know how to get bacon grease out of a shirt.
Yep.
And I think everybody in the CHGO family has had a lot more bacon grease on their shirts recently, because they're buying bacon from Charlie the Bacon Guy, who is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and makes craft bacon and bacon jams in over 35 different Ooh. Flavors. Take that, Baskin-Robbins. Bacon and bacon jams are all naturally cured, preservative-free products. No ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce himself in the process, unlike most of that very inferior store-bought bacon. Vacuum sealed. It freezes perfectly. Bacon lasts in the package up to 60 days in the fridge, 1 week after the seal is broken, and 9 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 90 days in the fridge and up to 1 year in the freezer. But if you keep keeping bacon in the freezer that long, you're not doing it right. This bacon comes in amazing flavors like maple pepper, chorizo, French toast is a favorite, raspberry, chipotle, Maui Waui. Bacon jam comes in original, bourbon, mango, habanero, cherry, jalapeno. What is bacon jam? Bacon jam is spreadable bacon.
Yep.
It is amazing. It goes perfect on anything. Put it on your eggs, your toasts, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, your charcuterie boards,
your potato,
cinnamon rolls, oof, on your pizza, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon, or Jay has favorites, but the sun's still out, so we can't talk about it just yet.
I did it. You just didn't hear me.
I heard you. I'm just not acknowledging it. Unlike Roman Reigns, I will not acknowledge you. Starting now, you can save 10% on your order over at charliethebaconguy.com when you use the code CHJOE at checkout. You could also get tons of great Charlie the Bacon Guy merch while you're over at charliethebaconguy.com. You could pick it up, or he can deliver it to you, meet halfway, or he'll even ship it. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. I think we're getting pocket bacon tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we are. We better be. I'm excited. Hey, do us a favor. Smash that like button. Let's get to these super chats real quick. Then we're going to play Seth Jones and bring in Mario. We've got a $2 super chat from Gravely, who says, this is the game for the Seth Jones haters. That's right. We got a $4 super chat, I believe, from Windy City Hockey, who was at the game today. We'll be there tomorrow. And he says, $4 to the Jones haters. Suck it. He's good. And $5 from TD Burns. Says Slager, Cole Gutman, and Joey Anderson would make for a gritty line together next year. Thoughts? I think two of those three. I'm not sure how sold they are on Gutman.
Yeah, I think Gutman is what he is. He's a tweener. Really good in the AHL and a guy that you can kind of play a few times if you have to. I don't think he has the NHL speed or defensive awareness to be a long-term effective NHL player.
He'll pop you a couple goals if someone in your top six is hurt.
Right. Well, and again, to me, plus minus is not the greatest stat in the world.
Yeah.
But when it's like too high or too low, it becomes problematic. Cole Gutman in 27 NHL games this year is a minus 17.
That's a lot.
That's not great.
No, that's
not. Not all his fault, but that's not a good stat for that many games.
No, you're right. Well, guess who was plus two today? It was Seth Jones. He spoke after the game. Mario fed this in. When Seth is done, Mario will be with us. But let's enjoy Seth Jones after the Hawks 3-2 win over the Dallas Stars.
Stand a lot in that first kind of period and a half there. Mm-hmm. And it's really solid second half of that game.
For sure. Peter stood on his head, as he has all season. We played a lot of defensive zone. A lot of stuff around our net happening. But we found a way to block some shots and just kind of get the puck out of our zone in the neutral zone and withstand that barrage of pressure that we were withstanding, and got one on the power play, which helped, you know, get that first one. So the second half of the game, I thought we really came into our own, played a full 200-foot game, I thought, and didn't turn a lot of pucks over, didn't give them anything free.
Really tested the bend but don't break there at the end.
The what?
The bend but don't break there.
We tested it. Yeah. We really did test it. We were close to snapping, but I mean, like I said, with Peter in the net, he has our full trust, and he's going to make big saves for us. Even when he probably shouldn't make the save, he's going to make it. And then everyone, you saw a lot of block shots, I think, in the second half of that game tonight or today, and so that was good to see.
What's the significance of this past month playing above 500 hockey at the end of a tough season?
I think it shows that we have it in here. You know, we haven't played a lot of great hockey this year. We've been a long stretches of not winning, not great on the road, but you know, it's nice this past month really that we can put it all together, play simple hockey, north hockey, direct hockey. We didn't have a lot of chances tonight where we put the puck in the net on the ones we did, which is, we haven't won that way a lot this year, so it's nice to kind of see that we can do that.
Has that helped with the mood, just getting some more winning? I know you and lots of others have talked about how it was weighing on you to be losing almost every game for a while. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's nice to win. I mean, but you look at the totality of the season, you know, it doesn't mean much, but I think we still want to build and understand what it feels like to win and want to keep that feeling in this locker room. And I think that builds that winning mentality. You know, if you look at, like you said, the last 6 weeks maybe, and so we finished the year out strong, we can take that into the summer. continue to build and say, this is how we want to play. We look at video next year. This is what makes us successful. This is how we need to win. And I think that's what helps us grow.
What do you think of that Donato feed?
Great feed. Risky play. I'm sure the coaches didn't love it. But I just try to beat a couple guys up ice and create an odd man situation. And great sauce pass around the tape. And try to put on that.
Luke said he's going to give some young guys other opportunities. Bedard was out there in the last 40 mm-hmm. seconds. You had Kaiser and Korchinski out there together in a mm-hmm. PK. What does it mean for those young guys to get out there in those situations against a team like Dallas that's chasing a President's Trophy?
It's very good for them to get the experience. I think most part of the development for young players is getting that experience, getting put in those situations even when you're not comfortable quite at a young age. And I think with Bedzi, you know, we've seen the offensive side of his game and, you know, Korch and Kaizi, but I think, you know, just talking about those three, we obviously want the other side of the puck to grow as well. You know, be responsible in the defensive zone, be able to put them out there in the last minute and run up a goal in a D-zone draw in a lot of those situations and penalty kill. So I think it's awesome that they're, you know, we're winning some games when they're out there. I think it gives them confidence and it gives our whole team confidence.
Like that. That's good stuff from Seth Jones saying that these young players need to be out there in big defensive moments to develop. Absolutely. And that's what we saw, you know, up a goal, empty net late. Connor Bedard was out there, and what Darren Pang referred to as the nine iron, just chipped it out of the zone, put it in the air, didn't try to do too much, didn't try to score in the empty net, just clear the effing puck, kill some time. It's like what Luke Richardson told him in the preseason about, don't feel bad about an empty netter. End the game. End the whatever it takes to end the game, end the game. And Bedard did that, hoisting the puck out of the zone and not trying to force it through a bunch of guys. Brilliant play. That was good stuff from Seth Jones. I'd love to get him in here someday.
That'd be great.
And talk to him. I'd love to pick Seth Jones' brain. All
game.
Right.
He had a good game today because he said hello to me on his way
that's
in.
It. That's it. Well, so. I said hi to you too, and the Hawks won.
Yeah.
Therefore, ergo, say hi to Greg, and the Hawks win.
They go.
All right, let's bring in a brain equally as impressive as Seth Jones's-ish. It's Mario Tirabassi, live from the United Center. Hello, Mario.
If I have an equal brain to Seth Jones, do I get his hand-eye coordination and athletic skill as well?
Yes, you get that, and I get his contract.
Okay, wonderful.
Sweet.
I'll take that.
I will take that. In a
I'll eventually get the appropriate contract he was supposed to get.
There you go, exactly.
And I can live with that.
So we just heard from Seth. I'm sure lots of post-game audio going in. We're going to put all that on YouTube. What else stood out to you from the Hawks after the game today?
I mean, aside from the good mood everybody was in, you know, it was the story of a team that is not giving up. They could have definitely rolled over to this Dallas team who came in with a huge advantage in the talent department. But this is a Dallas team that challenged them today. 44 shots on goal. Like, if you face the Stars and they put up 44 shots on goal, I don't care if you're the, you know, Blackhawks or if you're the Avalanche, like, you're in for a very difficult game to try and get a win. And, you know, the Blackhawks team, they weathered the storm. You heard it from Seth Jones. They tested their bend, don't break, you know, mentality, and they didn't break. It was touch and go at the end of the game there with, you know, some calls that had to be challenged and reviewed and, you know, it some confusion. You know, it's a lot outside, you know, the game within the game that, you know, the team had to overcome, which they did a really good job of doing. And they were able to hold the lead. So it's an opportunity for this team to see that they can do that, like get some confidence that they can do that and have the ability to say, like, go into next season, go into the summer and say, we took the team that a lot of people are picking, you know, to be Stanley Cup champions or favorites to be Stanley Cup champions, you know, be able to weather the storm and get a win that they really didn't deserve on the scoreboard.
Luke, have to say, after the win, we didn't get a chance to play him yet, but we'll throw that up on our YouTube page so everybody can check it out afterwards. But what did he have to say about the overall effort, even though the shots were lopsided, but the result was what you wanted?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tale of two halves of the game for the Blackhawks in the way that they saw it. Richardson said that the second half of the game is where things kind of picked up for them. Obviously, the shot totals, I think it was 36 shots that they had allowed through two periods, but you know, to come out of the second period with a lead and be able to hold it, like that was that was big for this team, and it wasn't just you know, the big names that were out there doing it. It was, you know, Mackenzie Entwistle had a really good game. Lucas Reichel had a really effective game today. Colin Blackwell was good. Like it was top to bottom, you know, a full team effort to come away with a win today. And that is, again, that is the messaging that this team is going to take into the final couple games of the season and then into next season. You know, and Luke talked about it. Seth talked about it. You know, Connor Bedard after the game talked about it too. Like it's stuff that you can put on tape to watch for next season. And be able to say, like, here, these are the things we did well last season. So you're not having to still watch the Stanley Cup final tape from the Avalanche and Lightning and say, this is how we want to play. Like, you can watch your own highlights. You can watch your own tape and say, this is what works for us. This is how we want to play. It's an example of what the guys who are here know that they can do. And then it's the guys that are going to be here next season and the season beyond. And it builds from there. But it says, like, hey, this is the style of hockey we play here right now. So I think that was the big message from Richardson after this game, is that it's like it's a statement. It's an identity finding game.
Yeah, and also, you know, just to put a little like exclamation point on your very good point, like it is proof that if you work within the system that you can get success out of it. Instead of just being frustrated and like, well, we played the system and lost, so the system must not work. No, stick with it, do it, and you're going to get results. All right, we're going to give you your helmet. You won. You had Seth Jones and Hoosier Hawk today. I had Connor Bedard. You win the tiebreaker because Seth had the game-winning goal. And with this win, Mario, you clinched the season title for Hoosier Hawk. So congratulations. You get to buy us dinner.
Feels good. Well, you know, I don't think we agreed to any of that. I remember, right? So
we
did.
It. Yeah, I mean, no. We've making up the rules as we go along, yeah, all season long. Why stop now?
Well, the good thing is I got you guys all Salernos for tonight. That was all.
Oh, that was so thoughtful of you. Thank you.
It's already here. So
how'd you know?
Good luck having some by the time you get here. Yeah,
all right, we're gonna let you go so you can get back here and join us for WrestleMania.
Sounds good.
Yes, WrestleMania 40, more important than Blackhawks upset win of the Stars.
Yes,
just said it.
Everyone agrees. All right, we'll talk to you. We'll see you in a little bit.
Awesome.
All right, that's Mario Tirabassi from the United Center. Good stuff from him. Yeah, good points about, and you know, there are Luke's points too, like just knowing, like, hey, we don't have to go, here's other teams being good, so you can see what being good looks like. No, here's you being good.
Here's how we win when you do this.
Yeah,
literally, like, here's when you did this and we won, and here's when you did this and we lost.
Right,
do the first thing more.
Yeah. Are we ready to declare a winner for the fourth star of the game?
I think so. It looked pretty crazy early.
Let's take a look here. I gotta pull up YouTube.
It was early.
It was all Reichel right away.
Oh yeah, I got it here.
Oh yeah, cut it off now.
69% of the nice vote.
Percent.
Yes. Way to go, Lucas Reichel. 69%
is our fourth.
There's your fourth star of the game. Beautifully done. We already did that, Law. We got the show, man. We're good. You worry about the pizza and the WrestleMania. We're here. We're doing it. Kevin's got it. He's running the show.
The guy Mario who won isn't here.
He's not here. Sheesh. Yeah.
Some people.
Some people, right?
Some people.
Sheesh. Keep that pizza hot.
You cut it out too. You ended it too late, Kevin. It says 68%. Someone voted for someone else and ruined our fun.
Way to go, jerks.
I'm filling in.
That's right. The official wording is 69%.
That's all right.
For Lucas Reichel.
Lucas Reichel. I know
and
one person that will make happy. Great game by Reichel. I mean, that assist, I'll explain it to you later. that assist, I mean, that's the assist of the year right now, is it not?
I mean, failed to find a better one, at least by a Blackhawk.
I mean, I'm going to have to look at some of those Bedard passes, but that play was ridiculous.
That was, I was like, oh, I was just really happy that he decided to try to split the D and actually had some success. Drew a penalty. I almost got Susanna Collins there. I said sex instead of success. Split
nice
the D, went down, and then like, oh, you know what I can do right here is I can put a beautiful backhand pass right on the tape to Andreas Athanasiou. Do we still have that? Can we show that one more time?
Oh, yeah. Of course we can.
We should just have like a little picture-in-picture of that. Just running.
Of course we can show it again. Look at this play.
Reichel's like, you better effing score that goal. After I did that.
Wherever, however you say that in German.
That was sweet. That was a sweet, sweet goal. All right, and now we have to go into Connor's Corner. Yay.
Music always sounds
music
better.
Music is so fun. All right, Connor Bedard had a goal. 4 shots on goal, 21-52 of ice time. We mentioned it too earlier. Really nice game for him on the ice, up a goal late with the empty net for the Stars. Luke Richardson putting him in a different situation than he typically would and made a key play in sustaining the win for the Hawks. So, like seeing him getting different opportunities, different looks, like seeing him on the left wing for a while to see how that goes. You've got this pretty new toy. Go see the best way to play with it, and he's been good. And today, you could tell, I think, for the last little bit, like the scoring, not getting goals was kind of in his head a little bit. As soon as he scored that goal, he started firing a puck a lot more.
Yeah, and that celebration was of a guy that was like, okay, I remember how to do this.
Yeah.
Because he knew, what was it, 7 games without a goal? He knows. Yeah. He knows.
Probably never done that in his life.
So, except maybe, I don't know, earlier in this year, whatever. But, 7 games without a goal does not happen very often when it comes to young Mr. Bedard. So, great game from him. Being on the wing, kind of, I don't think it really affects him offensively very much.
I don't either.
It's more easing his workload in the defensive end.
Yeah.
Let Jason Dickinson, who's your best defensive forward, do the heavy lifting, and you get ready to break out of the zone and go score a goal at the other end of the ice. That's why you're here.
That's right. All right, we're going to wrap things up. We're going to be back tomorrow about the same time. Hawks play again at 2:30. We'll have your post-game show. And remember, starting here shortly, we're going to be doing a live watch-along with WrestleMania. So if you're at home watching WrestleMania, get ready.
On the
CHGO YouTube page is going to drop a brand-new link for the watch-along. Greg, Big Dave, me, Mario, Ryan Herrera will be here after his Cubs duties are done.
He's already here.
Oh, he's here already? Damn.
Yeah, he rushed here.
Yeah, All right.
We had Jared at the ballpark today.
There you go. Better.
Ryan's enjoying a nice day off.
All right. Well, it's going to be a fun time. So come join us. We'll be kind of weaving in and out. Some guys taking breaks, whatever. But let's go. Let's watch some wrestling. We'll talk to you then on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast and CHGO WrestleMania watch along.
We all silly like the mayor.